Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Well, the idea for tonight's show started with the following comment on Facebook. Quote, "Wow, streaming music may be the end of an artist's ability to earn real money from the music he or she makes. The music you love is vulnerable in today's economy, folks." End quote. Well, Jacob Moon made the comment while referring to a blog post that suggested in today's economy, the Bare Naked Ladies would need 9,216 plays of their classic song, If I Had $1 Million, to earn enough royalties to buy one box of Kraft dinner, or 9.8 billion plays to earn the band members the $1 million they were singing about. Jacob, who's been performing and marketing himself as a one-man band for most of his adult life, is on the line from his Hamilton home to talk about the changes in the music industry, how it affects the bottom line, and the new way of supporting artists. But first, let's listen to Come Talk to Me from Jacob Moon's The Loop CD. Conversation with Jacob Moon. Good evening, Jacob.
How you doing? How's it going, Robert?
Not bad. We're sort of talking about the whole money thing and income and how artists are being challenged by that these days. When did you decide to earn your living as a full-time musician?
You know what? That was really, I made the decision kind of to transition right out of university, right into teaching full-time, performing on weekends, and I would only take what I call a straight job if I really absolutely needed to in the summertime. And for the first couple of summers of my career, I did that, which just drove home the point that I don't want to ever take that kind of job again. So, like, you know, moving companies or painting or, you know, landscaping or whatever. So I it's just not my thing, but I really just devoted my energy and my time to trying to stay hungry for being a full-time musician. And I think when you do that, when you kind of put all your eggs in one basket like that, it really makes you, it forces you to be inventive and to resourceful, you know, and to really find what you need to keep yourself alive just doing music.
Now, how has that gone for you? I mean, I know other musicians who have had to do exactly that. They'll do contracting work. They'll do drywalling. They'll do painting. They'll do all these different type of things to try and keep the money flowing when they're not able to get it from record sales or gigs. How has it gone for you in terms of making that decision to try and stay hungry and be inventive and be creative?
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. It's gone very well for me, and I credit the fans with making that possible. I mean, all through my career, it's really been people and supporters of my music that have made my career possible. I could never do this if it was just my own effort trying to push the boulder up the hill, but it's, and I know that for people who are sidemen and maybe aren't songwriters or don't front the band or aren't kind of in charge of booking their own gigs and they're just kind of waiting for the phone to ring, it can be a long time between rings of the phone. I mean, I know amazing musicians in my community that have had to take, contracting jobs just to stay alive, just because 6 months would go by and the phone wouldn't ring and they'd be like, am I supposed to quit doing this or what's the deal? So, and I feel for guys like that who are going through that. And so I never want that to happen to me or to my family. I'm always kind of on the move and trying to make it rain, as they say, trying to really just kind of cause your own weather, and really get out there and find the gigs and the connections that are going to propel your career forward.
Well, looking at that, and that, to me, a lot of that sounds like marketing. And so how much time do you spend on, the marketing aspect of it, and how much time do you spend on the music?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the time of year. It depends on what's happening. In the summertime, I can afford to spend more time in the music. And sometimes, the marketing really takes over and ends up kind of eating up days in a row, and you end up, whether it's photography or posters or website design or whatever it is, you got your head under the hood of a particular facet of your marketing campaign, and it's difficult to really do anything else. But I try to balance those two things as much as I can, and the music side is really, it's really important, I mean, if all you're doing is marketing and you're not really ever playing or writing songs, then it's going to have a shorter lifespan. So I keep myself busy with by booking myself into situations where I'm going to need to be inventive, and sometimes just by forcing yourself to have to come up with the goods, it really motivates you. Because of course I don't have a boss, right? So I'm my own boss. And as an employee of myself, I can sometimes be just content to kind of, let time pass and not do the things that I need to do. And so just by creating a little bit of stress on myself and a little bit of deadlines, it really helps to kind of force the issue. Because I think ultimately you have to find out what your motivation is, and my motivation is I really want to make great music, and I don't want to make terrible music. So if practicing will help me do one and avoid the other, then that's what I end up doing. So,
and one of the things that I've found when I've talked to writers, other artists like writers, other musicians, that the marketing end of it tends to be the area where they have the most challenges, because that's not the way they're wired. And I've been around in newspapers and media long enough to know that there are some characteristics of salespeople that I don't have. How do you sort of find that in yourself to be able to get out and make the contacts and connect with people, especially when you know that, in some cases they're going to be no's?
Yeah, I mean, you're helped by the fact that people aren't expecting you to be a salesperson. They're just expecting you to be. They're just expecting you to be you. And that's something everyone can manage. And if you're really, if you've created good touchstones of your marketing, that things like a great website or good posters or good photography and good music, obviously, then and you can point to those things online, then you can really just stand aside and let people check those things out. Just point them to what you do and what you've done. And then you don't have to sell it. You just have to kind of let them know that that stuff is out there. And if they check it out and they like it, great. Maybe part of the salesperson job is just getting them to do that one thing of checking it out. And that's persistence, and that's calling them back, and it's, being available on a smartphone at all 24/7, just being able to kind of reply to emails and phone calls as they come in, and to not let a lead that you get go unanswered, basically. And so often it's through a lack of organization or just an unfocused work ethic. Sometimes people can end up letting some of those things slip, and those could be the very leads and connections that make their career possible. So being a salesperson is maybe part of it, but not in the way that you think. When I think of a salesperson, I think of a used car salesman or something, and I think that's you're trying to sell somebody something that they don't want or something, right? Yeah. And I think that ultimately you should really only be focusing your attention on trying to get a hold of people who do want to talk to you about your music and do want to talk to a musician, and whether that's somebody who books music or somebody who puts music on their television show or whatever it is. If you've got something that they want, then it won't be a difficult conversation.
Well, and I want to follow up on that, because there's some things that have changed in the way music is done and accessed these days. So, but to do that, we're going to take a quick break first and continue our conversation with musician Jacob Moon talk about this whole thing about how these changes have come about. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
What do you want from me? I need to know. Oh, Lord, speak to me. Where would you have me go for your glory? Oh, Lord, speak to me. For the lost and lonely people, I need.
Connection. You've been listening to Speak to Me from Jacob Moon's Landing 2, the 10th Anniversary Concert CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Jacob. I go back, I'm old enough to remember that, the big thing that most musicians wanted to do was the big break was getting a record contract. And once they got signed with Word or Sparrow or somebody like that, then they were set. The record deal was signed. What's changed in the industry? Because now a lot of musicians are doing exactly what you're doing. They're getting out there, they're promoting themselves, they're selling themselves, they're letting people know, they're using social media, websites, the whole thing. Why has that changed? How has that changed?
It's really just because of the internet, basically. I mean, it's the demise of the record company was going to come someday anyways, maybe because of how they spent their money and how they did their business, but the the internet really just took away that wall between musician and fan, and it made it so that they can just go straight to it. So, I mean, there's many models of succeeding, and a model of succeeding was, you know, being signed to a major label, and that's because that was the model that was in place during the whole classic, you know, music period that maybe took us up into the early 90s, you know, when a lot of the most popular music was made, then that's what people remember. And so, but when the internet came, it meant that a lot of people were getting dropped from the labels because labels were downsizing, and another model became, okay, get signed, or, you know, hopefully you were signed before this happened, and then you can just take the notoriety that you've gained from being signed and being an international touring artist and just go ahead and start your own record company, do it independently because you can keep all the profits and you don't have to share that with a middleman. And then it's moved even further from that into people who never even attempt to get a record deal, but just produce content that catches on, that strikes a chord with fans, and that, whether that's fans of pre-existing music through, you know, artists doing cover videos. I've done my share of cover videos. It's a great way to reach out to an audience and say, hey, I like what you like. Let's hang out, you know. And if when you do that, the music can really can take off from there, and they can end up really following your written and recorded music as well as the stuff that you've covered. But at any rate, there's, you know, through YouTube and through social media, there's no real boundaries. There's no reason why you can't kind of create your own reality as far as music goes. And it's only going to be on a smaller scale. Maybe you're not going to be a international touring artist necessarily, but you there are no limits, and you can, you know, feed yourself and your family if you do it right. So there's middle class incomes to be earned from industrious, resourceful, independent musicians.
And I mean, that's really helped musicians who potentially would have never had music that the labels would have considered saleable to begin with. And you've seen groups that have taken off, you know, again, just using a fan base through.
Right, that's right. I think that think of how often the record labels were wrong about something, right? They were like, oh, I don't think anyone's going to like that kind of music. And an artist gets turned down and turned down and turned down until somebody believes in them. And then finally, it gets a chance to get put in front of the general public, the audience. And they do like it. And so now you don't have to worry about that curation process that happens through the major labels. You can just go ahead and put it to the vote, put it to the litmus test of the public opinion, and try to find a tribe of people online that will respond to your music. And they're responding to a lot of things. They're responding to your videos, your image, your music, your message. You know, and the people that you have covered, maybe, and the company that you keep. There's a lot of things that people are responding to and deciding whether they're in or out based on that.
But I guess the flip side of that is the artist takes all the risk.
Yeah, that's right. The artist has got to take the risk. And so I decided early on that I didn't have, like, a lot of angel investors who were kind of stepping forward and making what I did possible. So I really had to say, I'm going to be my own first investor. I'm going to take all the money that I have and put it into me and my career. And I'm going to, by taking that step, it really, you know, people noticed I took that step, and the people who wanted to help me, they got behind it. And of course, now with crowdfunding, there's really no reason why you can't get that done. By putting it out there to people and saying, listen, I've invested everything I have into my music for you. So if you like it and you respond to it, join me, whether that's through a crowdfunding campaign for a particular record, or whether that's through a fan funding site like fan.si, which I've just joined in the last month, and I've seen some incredible things happen through that. Fan.si is just amazing.
Yeah, and I wanted to broach on that because that's something new that's just popped up, and I'm familiar with crowdfunding. There's a lot of artists that are doing that. I mean, even someone like Steve Bell, who's been in the industry for 25 years, is crowdfunding his latest project. Give us a little bit of idea of what, you know, this FanSI and how it's all working.
Yeah, so that's basically a thing where you're trying to kind of build an army of people who just through a small amount of money per month have more access to music that I make, the shows that I play, and a deeper connection with me via an online kind of forum or chat room that exists on the fan.si artist page that I have. And so there's basically when I play at shows, I offer people to download a free song from this site. And so when they do that, now they have access to that chat room, and now they know what's going on, and they can see what's happening. And they can also see that there's a way for them to subscribe if they want to for $5 a month, for $10 a month, or for a larger chunk, $100 a month. And at each of those levels, there are rewards, you know. So for the $5, it's all the music I've made digitally, which is $200 value, and all the music that I'm going to make, right? So that all the music, while they're subscribing, they get all the new stuff first. And at the $10 level, it's all that stuff plus 4 free VIP passes to any show throughout the year that I do. And then at the in addition to that, there's free guitar lessons as well. So and then that last level, which seems crazy, $100 a month. Who would pay $100 a month? Well, that's for a bunch of people have. A bunch of people have signed up for that one to host a free house concert. So I'll come to their house and play for them and their friends. And they can do whatever they want. They can make that into a fundraiser and put all the funds towards that, or they can earn back the money that they spent on their subscription by passing the hat. And there's lots of ways that people can do it. But different people have different levels of what they want to give, what they can give. But what I've noticed is that people are responding to this idea that the music that they love is fragile, is vulnerable because of the economic factors. There's just really it's difficult to make a living playing music. And if they don't support it, if they don't kind of add in the money whatever they can afford to kind of keep it going, there's a chance that it might not be around. And I've been doing it for 19 years. I've been very fortunate to keep doing what I do. But if I want to create new music, I'm going to need the support of the fans to do that, whether that's through crowdfunding or through fan.si. It's really the lifeblood of what I do.
Well, it's almost like a grassroots movement where you're getting back to taking the music back to the fans. Let me just take one final break, and we'll come back and we'll wrap up our conversation with Jacob Moon. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
On the darkest night, sometimes the only flickering light is from the flames beneath your feet. We can't be saved, can only burn away. So what remains is all we need. You find out what you can live.
Back to Art Connection. You've been listening to Is That All You Got from Jacob Moon's Fascination CD. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to wrap up our conversation with Jacob. Looking at this whole thing and looking at the way things are going, what do you think is in the future for musicians in terms of trying to reach their fans and trying to get the music out and make sure that they're keeping as busy as they need to be?
Well, you know, it's... I don't know what the future is exactly. I know that if it's moving in any direction, it's moving in the direction of self-directed, tribal, very tribal. Like it seems like it's not, there's not really like mass music that goes out to everybody in the whole world. I mean, you can only think of a few artists that really have that kind of an audience where they have a worldwide audience through their music. It's a very small number, and it's maybe it's always been small, but I feel like it's gotten smaller, and I think that there's certainly the comments from people like the head of iTunes who said, you know, he thinks that music is dying, which is quite something to say when you're the head of iTunes, but he sees that there's less releases coming out, people are producing less music, there's less of a market for it because it's been saturated, there's too many other opportunities for people to entertain themselves. And they're not looking to music the same way that they were for sustenance. And they're looking to technology, frankly. So I think we've got to embrace technology, which means things like, Kickstarter, Rocket Hub, Fan.si, as ways of involving people in our process, saying, listen, this is what I'm doing. Join me in making it. Be part of making it. Make suggestions, add in artwork, whatever it is. Like, bring us your pictures from the shows that you've seen, and let's put this all together, and let's have a little, almost like a record company, really built by fans. You know, and that's really how I look at the fans. I really don't make any decisions without them in mind, and I couldn't accomplish what I'm trying to do without them involved. So. Really, I think that's got to be the way forward in the future, and it's always a relationship. Music is always the musician making the music for an audience, and the audience responding and supporting it. That's the way it's always been. That's not going to change. It's just how that gets done.
Great. Well, quickly, how can people get a hold of you or find out more about what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, jacobmoon.com or Facebook. You can find me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/JacobMoon Music, and I'm out there and I'm on Twitter as well. I don't know if people are on Twitter. Not everybody tweets. I do every once in a while. It's twitter.com/JacobMoon Music.
Great. Jacob, thanks very much for your time tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Robert.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Jacob Moon. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website, www.selawministries.ca. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries, email robert@selawministries.ca. Or follow us on Twitter @Selaw13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.